League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And it's time to fire it up again, The Boss and the Gloss. David Gao, Carla Dawson, on what I'm going to call Trading Deadline Monday. We are on the eve of the deadline, and it is already hot on the hot stove.
I was going to say it's hot in Houston. Our temperature is 100 degrees, and it is hot in the clubhouse in Minute Maid Park.
Woo! Big news with the Astros. If you haven't heard, the Astros, frankly, coming into this week, everybody knew they had a desperate need for a closer. Ken Giles had exploded on the team. They needed to pick up somebody, and they picked up a big name. He's Roberto Osuna, and he's an all-star from 2017. He is by all accounts, an exceptional pitcher with an exceptional arm.
With an exceptional problem.
And he's got a little checkered history.
He's suspended right now. Yikes.
He had a 75-game suspension for assault. He has not been able to pitch for the Blue Jays for 75 games. He will be coming off of that suspension and will be now a member of the Houston Astros.
As of Sunday, hopefully. He's got a court date on Wednesday. And then his suspension, if all goes well, should be lifted by Sunday.
So the Astros give up two minor league pitchers, Hector Perez, age 22, and David Paulino, 24. And those guys were ranked. Paulino was ranked the number three prospect in the Astros system.
Until he was suspended last year for PEDs, and now he's 23.
Until he ran into trouble. And then Perez ranked the number 10 prospect in the Astros system, but he's a couple years away.
Sure.
And the big name of that trade, the Astros gave up Ken Giles. Their closer last year, their closer for much of this year, but a guy who imploded as well.
Sure, sent down to AAA with a 4.99 ERA, and it's done nothing but just climb on up since he's been in AAA Fresno. So, you know, not going to miss him.
Ken the F-bomb Giles.
Jeez. Ken, I won't assault anyone else, but I'll assault myself. Remember the punch in the face, leaving the mound also?
So. Well, give him credit. When he took out his anger, he took it out on himself. Well, that's Ken
there
Giles.
There we go.
Ken Giles on his way to the Toronto Blue Jays, along with Hector Perez, along with David Paulino, and the Astros picking up Roberto Osuna. We will unpack that trade and all the trade deadline activity. We are on the cusp of the trade deadline. It's tomorrow. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We're broadcasting out of Houston on a big night for the Astros. It was just last week we were talking about how desperately the Astros needed a closer, and it was hard to get one. I mean, Zach Britton, probably the most attractive name on the market, went to the Yankees. Astros are casting about. They did go out and get Presley from the Twins, and he's a guy who is a nice piece to have in the bullpen. That's Ryan Presley. He's a right-handed reliever. They got him, but they still didn't have anyone whom you'd call elite, anyone with a big-time arm.
A Zach Britton-type name.
A Zach Britton-type name. They do get today Roberto Osuna. Osuna was an all-star in 2017. He had 39 saves that season with an ERA of 3.38. This year, it's been checkered as he was suspended for assault. He was assaulting a woman, and so he's been out of baseball for 75 games, but he returned with a rested arm, and he now fits in as the Astros would plan it at the back end of their bullpen.
From being arrested with arrested arm. How interesting is that?
I did not intend to say it so, but that is exactly the case.
It. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jose.
Okay, but go back to the context of the team. The Astros are picking up a guy who has been convicted of assault, and it wasn't that long ago. I mean, Verlander and McCullers spoke out against a minor league member of their team who had an issue.
Right, so this was just in March. You know, so the Astros are World Series champs, and they're defending World Series champs now. You know, no baggage in their clubhouse.
Yep.
And then in March, one of their prospects, Danry Vasquez, was caught on videotape brutally hitting his girlfriend, I think in the steps of the stadium, you know, in his minor league.
That was an ugly video.
It was hideous. And Justin Verlander and McCullers went on Twitter and were very... Here's what Justin Verlander says. There's a middle finger emoji. That's for you, man. I hope the rest of your life without baseball is horrible. You deserve all that's coming your way. And I agree with Verlander. And McCullers said the same thing. The issue here is no one cared as much until a video was leaked, and now everyone's outraged. This is the reality of domestic violence. It's always brutal, always sickening. We must fight for the victims, video or not. He should be in jail. If you need help, find it. People care. So, you know, I'm a little concerned. I love that they spoke out like that, as they should. How do you sell if you're, I mean, Jeff Luhnow is a genius. Jim Crane is a generous, smart owner. And A.J. Hinch is a psychiatrist. He's so incredible. How do you sell Roberto Osuna to this clubhouse?
I think the one thing you say to the clubhouse is, look around the room. We've got a lot of examples of character here. We've got a lot of folks who have lived good lives, who are on the straight and narrow, who are professionals in their endeavor. We need to create a team that gives Osuna the second chance that he needs. And if Osuna is, in fact, contrite, in fact, remorseful, as he said, then perhaps that's the foundation for giving him another chance.
Well, and Aroldis Chapman was in the same situation.
Yep.
And the Yankees gave him another chance, and then he went to the Cubs, and he won with them, and he went back to the Yankees. I mean, he's continued on.
If Roberto Osuna could become Aroldis Chapman in this case, it would be a heck of a redemptive story. Interestingly, Jose's got a clip of Carlos Carrera. He was talking about, well, whether he was consulted on this. And it is interesting when management is considering taking on a player of this kind of talent, but also this kind of history,
sure,
this kind of challenge. How much do they consult the current team members? And so we got to hear from Carlos Carrera on what he knew about this deal.
Obviously a great closer, one of the best closers in the game. Obviously he's a game changer type of pitcher, so I know he's going to contribute to our team and, you know, get us a lot of opportunities to win.
What about some of the background that he has and the charges against him? Is that something that you guys have talked about in here?
Well, you know, it's something that we don't really know what happened. You know, it's in court for that. So, you know, it's just really hard to discuss about the subject when you don't know what happened, what really happened. So, you know, obviously he's part of our team now. We don't know what happened, like I said. But we're excited about the talent that we're getting in this team.
Did the front office consult you just to get your temperature on?
I know, call me, and they consult me. To and, you know, they talked to him. They didn't call me.
Did you guys have like a team meeting today about this?
Yeah, we had a team meeting. Obviously, it's a pretty good subject, but like I said, we really don't know what happened. But we're excited about the talent that we're getting.
Do you know him?
I got a chance to talk to him last All-Star game. We were there together, and he seemed like a great guy.
That's Carlos Carrera of the Astros talking about Roberto Osuna joining the team.
You know, what's interesting is, I mean, I think Carlos handled that very well. He's the exact same age as Roberto Osuna, which is, you know, both, you know, hopefully Roberto's as mature as Carlos is about this, because he's saying we're getting incredible talent. And when he was pushed on the story, he said, we don't know the details of it. So, you know, The concern I have is that Verlander was very outspoken about the Danry Vasquez situation, and he's going to be in the bullpen with Justin Verlander and Roberto Osuna. They're going to be there together, so that's either going to be a great thing because Osuna's going to have to toe the line, or it's not going to be okay because Verlander is the leader in that stage. And also, you look at Jeff Luhnow, and he is quoted as saying the due diligence by our front office was unprecedented before bringing in Osuna. So, you know, they haven't failed us yet in Houston. I mean, they've done due diligence. And I got to think they're not going to bring in. We're not that desperate for talent, I would think, to compromise severely. So I'm hoping that they're smarter than we are and that this kid realizes he's got a chance to redeem himself. And let's get a redemption tour going now.
Yeah, three quick thoughts. One, high-risk deal. But the Astros didn't give up much. I mean, those two prospects.
That's a fact.
Paulino himself is suspended, as you noted, for PED. And Giles is a guy they had to get rid of anyway.
Oh.
So the Astros didn't give up much for this opportunity. I guess the second thing is this is a really talented guy. At the All-Star season in 2017, he had over 30 saves the previous season. And the Astros would have him under contract through 2021. So if he turns out to be an Aroldis Chapman, this is a heck of a pickup for the Astros. And then thirdly, I guess at this point, to me, I see all the risks, but I do think that Jeff Luhnow gets the benefit of the doubt right now. This is a man who has architected an extraordinary team.
He gives us no reason to think otherwise. And, you know, Jim Crane obviously has the owner final on everything, and he's not going to approve something that he feels is going to be detrimental to the clubhouse. And to go to Altuve, who is, you know, the American League MVP, the batting champ, World Series champ, all of that, and a clear leader, you know, in the clubhouse and on the field to give the nod. Hey, we've got to realize they must know something we don't.
One would think, but it's a really interesting trade deadline this week because, well, there's been a stratification.
Well,
there's a lot of haves and have-not teams. I mean, in the American League, really, the Astros and the Red Sox and the Yankees all arm wrestling and looking for big-time talent. Yankees struck first when they got Zach Britton, a guy that both the Red Sox and the Astros wanted. Yankees were really proactive in securing that talent.
We were talking about it last Monday. Maybe we talked about it too much. We wanted Zach Britton here in Houston. Clearly, the Yankees were listening to us. And you know what's so interesting? You look at it's a game of keep away. It's not exactly what the Yankees needed. They have five closers already pre-Zach Britton. But, you know, I think it's not that they needed Zach Britton, but they needed to keep it. Or they felt the need to keep him away from Boston and from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That was more important to them. And those were two teams in the market, high market for Zach Britton.
The other team I really was fascinated to see, the trade of Cole Hamels to the Cubs. I mean, that seems like a really tight fit. I know Hamels has not had the year that he's had in other years. I know there are questions about whether he can perform at the high level that he did when he was younger. But he seems to slide in really neatly to that Cubs team. Theo Epstein and company, I think they're going to figure out a way to make the most of Hamels. And he brings that postseason moxie to the Cubs, who will be in the postseason. And this is a guy I think they're going to enjoy having go in the pressure innings in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And he loves to bat.
Yeah.
I mean, Cole Hamels loves to bat. So he's going to be in the National League. That's all great. And his numbers this season are disappointing. He's 5-9 with a 4.72 ERA. He is playing on the Texas Rangers, but he loves to pitch at Wrigley Field. I mean, and his numbers prove it. In six starts at Wrigley, he's got a 1.76 ERA in 41 innings. That is impressive. So he's excited. They're excited. It is a win-win all around. And he's playing with his old teammate, Yu Darvish, right?
Yeah, it's a good fit. Now, of course, Darvish has not done anything for the Cubs this year. And it's not clear if he's going to be back in time. And that's another reason why they need to get Hamels and slide him into that rotation.
Yes,
Hamels
definitely.
Hamels probably fits in well. I guess he'll be the number four starter on that Cubs team. So they're not expecting him to be the number one. That's going to fall to John Lester. But Hamels is a great addition to that staff.
Yeah, he really is. And it gets him out of the Rangers purgatory.
No doubt.
I'm the contender.
When we come back, well, this is Trading Deadline Monday, but we're going to take a break from MLB for a minute. Next segment, we're going to talk a little NFL. We're going to take some peeks into training camps and see who is standing out and who is not standing out.
Let's do it.
Some NFL when we return on The Boss and the Gloss.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Well, it's a fun moment because NFL football is, you can just feel it in the air, can you not?
I learned to, yes, I can feel it in the air and I'm excited. That the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony with the new inductees, which is Sunday, that kicks off the beginning of the new NFL season.
Yep.
I didn't realize that was the official kickoff.
Well, so, and later we get a chance to talk to Clark Judge. In the second hour, we're going to get to visit with him. He is one of the voters for the Hall of Fame, and he'll be heading to Canton. So it'll be fun to visit with
Clark
Judge.
Bring on the judge.
That'll be in hour number two. But let's just go. There are some reports coming around from training camp, and it's so interesting. Talk about microwave analysis. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was, that we wouldn't have daily updates from training camp. We wouldn't have a daily update that this receiver beat the other cornerback deep. We get all these reports now and information on a daily basis as to how things are going.
Minute by minute.
Minute by minute. Great fun, great theater. And let's start. Let's just go around some of these teams that are fun to talk about. I want to start with the New Orleans Saints because I felt, well, they might have been the second best team in the NFC last year. Of course, they had that devastating loss in the playoffs.
They were one Stephon Diggs away from...
An amazing defeat, because really the Saints should have won that game, barring that miraculous play by Stephon Diggs. So I see the Saints perhaps as the second-best team in the NFC based on where they were last year. I'm going to defer to the Eagles at number one because, of course, they are the defending champ of the NFC. But the Saints looks really good. And the Saints bring back Kamara, the great running back.
Right, who
They've
had a breakout
season. Good
season.
Job drafting. I thought in the first round this year... There was a little bit of a head-scratcher. You know, they traded up to 14, all the way up to 14 to get Marcus Davenport, who probably would have fallen a bit further. But they've got in their training camp a rookie wide receiver, Tre'Quan Smith. He's looking very good. He's exceptional. He's running good routes. And they return Drew Brees and Peyton. I mean, those two guys, Brees and Peyton, are a better version, a cleaner, better relationship than Belichick and Brady.
Right. And for me, it just seems like, and I don't know, I'll be curious to think what you... To hear what you think, David, they're very under the radar. Like Brady Belichick, we all know about that. You know, that's just, and it's, you know, it's got some kinks in the armor now we're seeing. But nobody ever talks about the Brees-Peyton situation. And they have been together since 2006. You know, this is Drew Brees' 17th NFL season.
See, that's an incredible run.
Isn't that amazing?
Of course, Peyton had to sit out a season when he had the whole
Bounty Gate,
Bounty Gate controversy.
Yeah, there's that. But I saw an interview at training camp.
Yep.
And ESPN was asking Sean Payton, you know, like, obviously you all have this great relationship, but certainly just like with any marriage or whatever, there's things that get under your skin. Like with Drew Brees, what can like get under your skin with him? And he had one thing. He said he's a pack rat. He said we really like we have to go through his locker when he's not around and take out like T-shirts from 2008 and just like get rid of them. And I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of funny. Everyone was laughing. But I thought, like, hold up, Saints fans. That's a good sign. If that's what gets under your skin between head coach and your signal caller, I mean, you are happy. That's a great – I think that should not be that should not be underrated.
That's not like an Alex Guerrero situation
that
in New
not.
England. So give the nod
or
relationship-wise.
Or Belichick-Brady situation.
Belichick-Brady, which is – but the – of course – Belichick, Brady, they've had more success. I mean, the Peyton-Brees relationship, a great one. They have one Super Bowl championship between them. But many, many years of high productivity. They've always been seemingly good offensively, but struggled some years defensively. They had the whole Rob Ryan experiment at defensive coordinator. Regardless.
Experiment, that's a great word for that.
Yeah, they'll do well. You know, that bad hair day, good hair day with Ryan. It was always confusing to me. But they will be a force this year. I really think they've got the pieces together. I mean, last year, their defense was equipped. They had some good picks.
Sure.
They've got a defense to go now with that offense. And so I think you've got to watch those Saints. I think they're going to be coming on strong. Another team to watch closely, of course, is here in Houston, the Texans. And word out of training camp is that most of the pieces are healthy.
Yep, they are now.
Yep.
I mean, knock on wood if you're a Texans fan, that's for sure. So we've got Deshaun Watson out there ahead of schedule from his ACL injury, moving around without a brace. Looking confident, feeling confident, throwing beautiful balls to his receivers. You know, I think tight ends, got Ryan Griffin as the number one slot. They've got $29 million still left to spend in the cap space. I mean, I think they've got to do some things. They've got to look at tight end, possibly running back. I don't know who's left, who's out there, but I still like Dez.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give it a shot.
Dez Bryant, still available. Rumors that he's going to the Browns. And that's an interesting...
Don't do it, Dez. Don't do it.
I mean, what would he hope to achieve? You know, on the one hand, he said, well, I'll do a one-year deal, a prove-it deal. What kind of stats can he get from catching passes from a rookie quarterback or Tyrod Taylor? That just seems like an awkward fit. And I'll add to that. If Dez goes to the Browns, can't you see him coming back and yelling in the huddle, you got to throw me the ball, you got to throw me the ball, to a rookie quarterback in Baker Mayfield? I just don't see how that's a great fit for the Browns.
Those two are like two pieces of dynamite like coming together. I don't think that would be a good fit at all. I think coming to the Texans, here's why I think it's a great deal for him. He would be, if the Texans were able to pick him up and get him, he's coming in knowing I'm not the number one option. DeAndre Hopkins is the number one option. And then I'm probably even behind Will Fuller. Maybe. We'll see how that goes. I mean, Dez Bryant, yards after catch, that's a great pickup for Houston. And, if history shows itself, there's a lot of injuries that happen in NRG or wherever, wherever they play. And they need to have it. It cannot hurt to have a veteran on a one-year contract betting on himself like the Honey Badger. I mean, I love that chutzpah.
Yep.
Bring it in. Bring him on. And I think Bill Bryant's the perfect guy to try and manage a Dez Bryant.
Well, I would love Dez Bryant with the Texans just a little bit more if he played tight end or running back. But that's another matter. Or even offensive line. But he could fit on that team, probably as a number three receiver behind certainly Hopkins and maybe Fuller as well. The running back position still, to me, a weakness. I don't know where Dante Foreman's going to be. Lamar Miller's never really excited me very much. Alfred Blue, really? What? I mean, that it surprises me that they haven't done more with that. But we'll see.
Well, in defense of that, they have not had an offensive line that's able to protect the quarterback or open up holes for the running back.
Right.
Lamar Miller has done – he has been – utilitarian, in getting what he can with little protection. So let's hope Julian Davenport slides in beautifully at left tackle. I don't know, three starts and we've got him protecting our main guy. So fingers crossed on that.
All right. If the Texans are healthy, their defense will be standout.
Yes.
And then the offense will be obviously led by Deshaun Watson. Let's shift gears. We talked about the Vikings getting by the Saints and the miracle that happened in Minnesota. Ooh. But they really do feel poised for a good year. They've got an upgrade at quarterback. We're going from Case Keenan to Kirk Cousins. And an upgrade at running back. They get Dalvin Cook, the former number one pick.
Who has worked his tail off.
He looks really good.
He looks fantastic. And I think he's ahead of the schedule with his rehab. And he's taken it very seriously. And that's the key to coming back from an ACL injury.
Well, remember last year we were talking about how amazing it was that the team was doing so well with a backup quarterback, because their starter had been injured.
Third string.
It was a third string quarterback, because, yes, it was Bradford and Bridgewater, both of whom had gotten injured, and then came in Case Keenum. And then, of course, Dalvin Cook wasn't able to play with his ACL tear. Now they get those pieces back. You add that to their great wide receiving core, and
they're going to be a force.
I think that offense is going to be poised to go.
And believe me, Kirk Cousins has played on a franchise tag for a couple years.
Yes.
This is his time. He got the big money. He's got fully guaranteed. This is not time to silence the doubters. He's motivated. It's going to be exciting.
All right, let's shift gears. Let's go to the Cowboys.
Okay, you're our Dallas expert.
The Cowboys, interestingly, the feedback coming out of their training camp is that the rookies are looking pretty good. And Leighton Vander Esch, the number one pick, has looked fine, but the two guys that are getting most notoriety are their second-round pick, Connor Williams, and their third-round pick, Michael Gallup. And what's intriguing about both those guys is they're both going to be asked to play a lot very soon. So Connor Williams will slide into the starting left guard role. He's got a good supporting cast around him. I mean, look at him. He's got, probably the best offensive line, and then he will be the new kid showing up as a rookie. And there aren't a lot of rookies who start on offensive line and do well, but he should do well at that left guard spot. And then Michael Gallup has got to fit in on a receiving core that lacks a true number one with the departure of Dez Bryant.
And retirement of Jason Witten. So are you excited about Randy Gregory? Is he going to be the cure-all for the Dallas?
Well, he's getting some buzz. He has returned after his lengthy departure from the NFL. His lengthy suspension.
Let's hope he doesn't get any more buzz. He's had plenty of buzz. That's why he's
No. He was, of course, struggling with it was a marijuana habit. And he is, by all accounts, on the straight and narrow. Sean Lee, Jason Witten, these guys who are veterans around the team have said that they believe that Randy Gregory will clean up his act. And if so, no one ever questioned his talent. He's got a quick first step. He's got a bend around the end. He's a guy who could provide some real pass rushing pressure on the other side of DeMarcus Lawrence. So time will tell if he can really get his act together. But he is now entering his third year after being drafted. It's time to put up or shut up for Andy Gregory. A guy with talent, though. The Carolina Panthers, though.
Oh, man. There's some bad juju hanging over that camp.
You know, they got a new owner, David Tepper, who has come in and talked a lot about what he wants to do at the stadium and different things he wants to do to enhance the team. But, yeah, they've got some tough injuries. They've lost right tackle Darrell Williams. And today they lost Ross Cockrell, a cornerback. So tough start
to a broken
to
leg,
training
sure.
camp. Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Daryl Bailey. He is Clipper Daryl. He is the world's biggest Clipper fan, and he has an opinion about just about everything. We'll talk Clippers, Lakers, LeBron. When we return with Daryl Bailey here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Preparing your family's car for a summer road trip can now help you avoid costly repairs down the road. Worn brakes, cracked belts and hoses, low fluid levels, or a dead battery are all problems that you can leave that can leave you stranded in the summer heat. Before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventive maintenance like changing oil and filter and topping off fluids can ensure your family a safe journey. So go to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio, this is a real treat. His name is Daryl Bailey. If you don't know him, he is Clipper Daryl. Daryl, you are joining the Boss and the Gloss. It's David and Carla. Welcome to the show.
What's up? Thanks for having me, man.
Well, it's a delight to have you. You know, you need to give us a little context. I'm going to those who don't know Clipper Daryl, he is a phenomenon, at least in the L.A. Clipper area. He's a phenomenon nationally. He's the world's biggest Clipper fan. You've got a great suit with Clipper colors, and you have been the most vocal, over-the-top Clipper fan known to all of humankind. So tell us, how did you become Clipper Daryl? Give us a little context for who you are.
Man, I got fired from a job, and a guy told me I never amount to anything in life. You know how you get fired?
Yeah.
You feel sorry for yourself. Went home, turned the TV on. They said the same thing about the Clippers, how horrible they was and how they'll never amount to anything. I said, this is going to be my team. We're going to ride and die together. So after that, that was in 1992. And in 2000, when we acquired Darius Miles, I can actually afford seats. And I was a Clipper fan. I was listening to it on the radio with Ralph Lawler and everything. But when I could actually afford seats, I never looked back. And when I first got in the arena, I was dancing in the aisles. I was so happy, man, to be, to see my team play in person. And they used to call me the dancing man. So later on, a couple of years later, the media got tired of calling me the dancing man. They said, man, we got to give you a name, man. You're more than a dancing man. So that's when the media got together and named me Clipper Daryl, and it stuck with me ever since.
You do cut quite a rug, though. You are a renowned dancer. Is that not the case?
I mean, that's what people say, man. It's just for fun for me, man. I like to be the life of a party, man. I just like to put smiles on people's faces, man. Because everybody comes to a game to have fun, man. I just like to bring that fun out of them.
Well, you know, Clipper Daryl, we need you to be having fun at these games, because there have been some bad juju going down in the NBA. And I heard that you will call out fans, Clippers fans, who cross the line. Like, you're G-rated. Is that right?
Oh, yes, definitely, man. It's not all about disrespecting the players. It's all about having fun, keeping smiles on people's faces, and move on, man. I think that's why I get invited to a lot of NBA parties and do a host at a lot of NBA events because of that with NBA players.
Yeah, well, I know this.
Yeah, so it's
great. Some of the greats give you some shout-outs, Kobe and LeBron. I mean, you are beloved, Clipper Daryl, and I've heard that you have only missed two games since 2000, and one of them was because you were in the hospital. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you good? Are you healthy?
Oh, yeah, I'm good now, man. I had chest pains, and I told the nurse. I was already in there for a day, and I told the nurse, I said, I need to get to a game. And I said, if I was your husband, would you let me leave? He said, Daryl, you're not going anywhere. So, okay. So I stayed. I missed that game. And then the other game that I missed, I was booked for an event before the Fallen Officers in Visalia, California, and I was the host of the event. So when I booked it, the schedule didn't come out yet. And then when the schedule came out, it was already the date was already occupied, so I couldn't make that game. So that was it.
We are talking to Daryl Bailey. He is known as Clipper Daryl. He is here on SB Nation Radio. So let's talk about the state of the Clippers. There were some big names have departed that team. I mean, here in Houston, where we're broadcasting.
Do we have to?
Yes, we got to talk about them. And we got CP3 from you a couple years ago, and of course DeAndre Jordan has left. What is the state of the Clippers? Who do you like on this team now?
I mean, I can't even. You know, honestly, man, this is the first season in 25 seasons. I can't name everybody on the team. And it really hurts. It really hurts for me to be a Clipper fan like that. But to see what Glenn Rivers has done to this team in the past five seasons, man, he has dismantled this team. I mean, I put it this way. I ain't going to say dismantled. He destroyed this team, you know, in five seasons, man. It just hurt. It hurts so bad, you know. And it's like unforgivable because we was on a high. We had a piece of L.A., all we had to do was get to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals then, and like he couldn't even do it. Every season that he was the coach and the president, he changed the bench every single year and couldn't get it right. And you know, and to me, it's all about camaraderie. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you and your co-host. You know, y'all didn't just go inside the radio station and just start getting along. You know, it took time. It took 6 months. It took 2 years. And that's what happened. Now y'all know each other. Y'all know each other's flaws and, you know, your strengths and weaknesses. And that's what basketball is all about. It's teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, that's so true, Clipper Daryl. So I'm gonna pair you with Jerry West and say, okay, you two, let's say Doc Rivers is not going to be your head coach anymore. Who do you want to slot in there? After you have your party, Clipper Daryl, who would you put in? If you could have your dream coach for the Clippers, who would it be?
You know what? My dream coach for the Clippers, New York, just got him. But I definitely, Mark Jackson is definitely a choice of mine, too. I would love to see Mark Jackson. He's a player's coach. He talks to the players because actually he built what the Warriors have made. And then, you know, Kerr just came in and, you know, they brought Kerr in. But, you know, one thing I love about what Kerr said when he won the championship, he was like, hey, man, thanks, Mark Jackson, put this team together. That was it, you know. So he got his nod. But I would love to see Mark Jackson. I would love, you might laugh at me, man. The Van Gundy. I can't even think of the first name right now.
Stan or Jeff?
Probably Jeff.
Jeff.
I love JVD. We love him here.
Great pick. Yeah.
I take Jeff because see, those are players, coaches, and by him being in a commentator's booth, you can see a lot more. You know what I'm saying? Because I always say, man, being a coach is not a dictatorship. It's about communication. You know what I'm saying? And understanding what understanding your role on the team. You know, and when you don't have when players don't understand their role on the team, that's why it gets discombobulated. If you look at the Warriors and what they bring, every player on that team knows their role. It doesn't matter who shoots. It don't matter who scores, who's got the highest points. Everybody runs back on defense. It ain't no selfish play on that team. And that's what the Clippers basketball got to get back to, man. We don't have an identity. You know, what are we? Are we a defensive team? Are we going to be a running gun team? Are we going to move the ball? I mean, who are we?
We are talking we're talking to Daryl Bailey. He is Clipper Daryl, the now suffering Clippers fan as the Clippers are down. But let's talk about your crosstown rival for a minute, because in the world of smack, I understand the Lakers were celebrating a little bit at your expense when they signed LeBron. How did you overcome all the grief you got that the Lakers were the ones who landed the big guy?
You said overcome it. I still ain't overcoming it, man. I can't even walk around town no more. You know, to me, you know, LeBron went to, you know, he went to a franchise that's been built got a history, you know?
Yep.
We don't have a history. So he wanted to, you know, he came out here for Hollywood, but plus he wants to win another championship, and we wasn't built to win a championship. And I respect that, but I mean, it killed me, man, you know, because we had our six seasons that we could have done something, and to not to be able to do nothing now, like, everybody turned. I mean, Laker tickets went from $60 to $500 overnight.
Yep.
So, you know, it's bananas out here for the Lakers, man. But, you know, I'm a fan of my own team. I'm a fan of the Clippers forever. You know, I live, breathe, and drive red, white, and blue. But at the end of the day, man, it's only a game. And we as fans need to get along with each other and not ridicule one another, man, after the game is over with, man. And let's be friends, man. Because I get so sick of, you know, where fans like to get up in other people's faces and want to fight and stuff like that, man. That's too much, man. You know what I'm saying? What are we fighting for? You know what I'm saying? We got enough going on in this world to be fighting against each other for a team.
Well, and fans are feeling, you know, very, very forward to go ahead and talk to the athletes. You know, there was a lot of that this year in the NBA, which was really, really rough. But, you know, do you feel like, you know, did you think about this at all, Clipper Darryl? You know who Lil B is? The rapper who puts curses on the NBA players? Do you think Lil B has been in the Clippers locker room to do any numbers on him?
You know what? Honestly, when now I'm starting to feel, are we really cursed? People always said we was cursed. You know, and back when Donald Sterling owned the team. But is that curse continuing? Because we can't get over the hump at all, man. All I want to do is get to the Western Conference Finals, man. That's it. I'm not asking for an NBA championship. If I won that, I'd be partying for 7 days and seven nights. But I just feel, man, we can't get over the hump. And to me, I just feel that sometimes, you know, GMs, they go in the wrong direction. And I felt if Chris Paul was still here, I think LeBron would have chose the Clippers.
Mm. No, that might have been the case. Well, that's Darryl Bailey. He's Clipper Darryl. And I don't know, Carl, I'm sure you feel the same way, but after listening to Clipper Darryl, his enthusiasm is infectious. I'm going to root for the Clippers this year.
And I think Clipper Darryl needs to suit up. Put on a uniform.
Put him out there.
We need you, Clipper Darryl.
My basketball. Hey, you know what? I love the game of basketball, but I cannot play it. I was a football, baseball guy coming up. I can't play a lick of basketball at all, but I know the game, and I understand the game, and I know what it takes to win.
Well, you're a good fan. That's Clipper Darryl. Clipper Darryl, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Let's go, Clippers. Let's go.
You're infectious. I like it.
So it's interesting to think about, because I haven't really paid much attention to the Clippers in a little while now, but look at the team that Doc Rivers had when he arrived there. And Doc Rivers, of course, was given all kinds of credit for the success of the Celtics when they had Garnett and they had Paul Pierce, and they really were an exceptional team. And then Doc Rivers comes to the Clippers, and when he went there, actually, he had his own version of a big three. He had Blake Griffin and CP3, and DeAndre Jordan was a really good up-and-coming star, and they've done nothing with that. And now all three of those guys have left the team.
And remember, his son was the point guard. Austin Rivers was playing for him.
Yeah,
also.
There were whispers that had created some bad blood in the locker room, that the father-son duo in a small team and basketball environment, it's questionable whether that really was appropriate or was going to work. But they really had a little window there where they were the better team in Los Angeles, and now the tide has obviously gone back to the Lakers.
Right, I do. I think they missed their time to put in some traction, and it's too bad. And I think that Clipper Darryl said it perfectly, is that, you know, the Lakers have a tradition, and they have a history, and there really has been no tradition for the Clippers. They just haven't been able to get anything going.
Well, yeah, and LeBron was never going to consider the Clippers unless they could have attracted another guy or two to go with them. But this is a really dark, dark window for the Clippers.
Well, you know, interestingly that you say that. I mean, I think it's easy to say that. Like, of course he's going to go to the Lakers. Why would he go to a franchise that's not storied? You know, that he doesn't need to. Except that Jerry West left Golden State a year ago to go to the Clippers to specifically get LeBron to come there because he has a great relationship with LeBron. And then, you know, also the hope that CP3 would still be there. And I think maybe when that domino fell, then the whole thing fell apart.
Well, it has fallen apart. CP3 in Houston now, and it does appear Carmelo Anthony will be joining the team. It is almost official now that he's released and he'll be signing. Mixed reviews on Carmelo Anthony joining the Rockets. Rockets needed another weapon, but they got a guy who doesn't play defense and a guy who's been a bit volatile.
And a guy that's not accountable. I mean, I think right now Carmelo Anthony's ego is his worst enemy. I mean, you look at this, he has basically told ESPN that the failure last year with OKC is not his fault.
Yep.
He basically says the timing of the trade was wrong because he came in on, he says, quote, then I came along in the 25th hour like bleep at Melo. Just come on and join us. Like, you can figure it out since you've been around the game for a long time. That's why it was so inconsistent. At times, I had to figure it out on my own rather than somebody over there or people over there helping me. So what he's saying is, hey, timing of the trade was wrong, and no one helped me adjust. Really? You're 34 years old. You've been playing basketball for how many seasons? 10, 12? And you're blaming OKC? And remember, he clashed with D'Antoni in New York as well? So he's joining a team where D'Antoni is the head coach. So the million-dollar question to me is, can Melo, is he willing to reinvent himself? Is he willing to become the fourth offensive option on a loaded team?
Right. I do take some heart, though. At this moment, there's nothing left for Melo than to get a ring, right? He's going to be a Hall of Fame inductee. All he needs to do is get a ring. That's all he ought to be focused on. And the way to get that is to recognize that you are a role player on this team, that you take a back seat to guys like Harden and Paul. The other thing I would say is that I think Chris Paul is very good with leading a team. I think Chris Paul made Harden a better defender.
Remember,
Never played defense, and then Harden stepped up his game. I think there's an environment, a context that will be much better for Carmelo Anthony than he had at OKC.
Yeah, hopefully so. That's a great way to look at it. You know, I think, you know, he was saying that when he came over to OKC, it was the day before training camp, and it was because nobody wanted him. He was difficult. He'd gotten a coach fired. He didn't want to waive his no-trade clause, all that kind of business. So he's brought it upon himself. However, when he was with Team USA Basketball in the Olympics, he was a fantastic teammate, and everybody loved him. So you know what? If the Rockets get that version of Carmelo Anthony, double thumbs up. It's going to be nice.
All right, we shall see how it unfolds with the Rockets. But great to have Clipper Darrow with us. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
You know, we can talk about Carmelo Anthony going to the Rockets, but Clint Capella was the biggest signing for the Rockets. They really needed to get him back.
They did. They lost Trevor Ariza, Luke Mbah-a-Mute. 5 years, $90 million for Capella to stay in Houston. That's a deal.
And then they get, Cleveland got Kevin Love to become the face of their franchise. They've signed him, and then Dirk Nowitzki returns to be the face of the Mavericks. So that's
for his 21st consecutive season with the Mavericks.
Amazing run. An amazing run.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.